Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Up, LAFB fans, you are listening to the Bruin Bible right now, but we want to bring to you our sponsor for the show. It's Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals. I know our guy Madman will be all over that. The big tennis fan of the bunch. Major League Baseball, Dodgers in the midst of a big-time season, highest payroll in the league, three MVPs in the lineup. Can they figure it out? The latest fighting news, a huge MMA fight coming up this weekend for the UFC, and even next season's early NFL futures. I know you guys will be hammering the Rams and Chargers overs on the futures for next season. Head to our website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LAFB to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. What is up and welcome to a brand new edition of the Bruin Bible. Will Decker, your host. We got a very, very special guest in the house. The man who writes for SI All Bruin. The man who has a new nickname coming out of Pac-12 Media Week. It's the Condor, Mr. Sam Connan. How are you doing, brother? It's great to see you, as always.
I'm doing all right, Will. Yeah, it was good to see you at Pac-12 Media Day last week. It was good. It was a fun event, a lot of headlines coming out of it. And, yeah, it was good to kind of mark the start of this season there.
Yeah, man, a little awkward for us as the UCLA team covering Pac-12 Media Day. You know, I think a lot of people were, you know, a little abrasive to the move that UCLA and USC will be making to the Big Ten. The commissioner, George Klefkov, you know, had some very interesting comments at the top of that. But one of the cool things is, you know, I've been doing this podcast for a little over a year. I was able to finally meet you in person. I was able to connect with Mike Regalado, a friend of the show, in person. It's just nice to meet some of the other Bruin family around in a personable environment like Pac-12 Media Day. And it was a very successful day too. You know, we get to ask questions right to Chip Kelly, the head coach. We got to talk to, you know, John Gaines, Stephen Blaylock, players like that. So just a really fun event, man. And we're going to be doing something really fun as well with this podcast. We're going to be doing the top 10 players draft for the UCLA Bruins coming up this season. My man, Sam IM, will have the number one pick in this draft. He's going to be choosing the current players that are on the UCLA roster and who he's very excited to see in this upcoming season with their stats, with their performances on the rise. Maybe it's some guys that haven't performed in the past that we're excited to take that next step out on the football field. But Sam, before I do that, I've got a very awesome question to you. We were connecting on our love of movies at Pac-12 Media Day. One of the things we asked Shane Lee, the linebacker for USC, yes, I know this is the Bruin Bible, but Shane Lee actually sat down at our table. We got talking about movies there. I asked him his Mount Rushmore of comedies. We asked this to Caleb Williams as well. I want your top four comedies, man. Sam Connan, you got four comedies on your wall of fame. What are they and why?
All right. First, I'd go Hot Fuzz. I love that movie. I've literally seen it 20 times, and every time I watch it, I find something new that's hilarious about it. So funny. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, just so perfect.
What's your birthday? That line always cracks me up. He's like, what's your birthday? March 19th.
Every year.
That's such a great response.
Good. Yeah. It's so good. Everything in that movie is iconic and quotable and perfect. So that's up there. Another, I'd go Airplane. I feel like it's number one for like satire and parody, and another one that's just infinitely quotable. You can just say anything from it and people just know what you're talking about. It's just a classic. And then of course, Kareem being, and it doesn't hurt either from the UCLA perspective.
Bruin love, you know, I love it, man. Yeah. I was watching that with my dad as a kid. So Airplane is a classic. So number two, you're two for two right now in my wheelhouse, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah. This one, I feel like it's not even a pure comedy, but I love Princess Bride. It's another hilarious, quotable movie. Maybe it's like a, I wouldn't even know what genre to put it in. If it's like fantasy, comedy, self-aware or something. I don't know. I just love that movie. It's one of my favorites of all time. That's got to be up there.
Classic.
Let's see. What else? I feel like the other contenders, you got like The Other Guys, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights. I'm trying to think of which one of those would make the cut. Maybe I feel like I'll combine 2 and 1. I'll cheat a little bit and do 21 and 22 Jump Street. Those movies are so funny, so perfect.
No joke. So I'm, you know, scrolling through my TV last night. So many different streaming services nowadays. I can't even keep up with them. But I saw the 22 Jump Street on Amazon, and I hovered over it. I was like, I haven't seen this in a while. I've got to watch this soon. Such a classic movie, man. Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum together. I remember laughing out loud hysterically in the theater when I saw that. So all great picks, man. And like our guy Atigo Montoya would like to say, man, this is our draft. Prepare to die, man. So Sam Connan leading us off with the number one pick. This is for next season, man. Who are you most excited to see for the Bruins when the opening weekend comes around for us in September?
I feel like I'm not going to overthink it. I feel like number one has got to be Dorian Thompson-Robinson, quarterback, fourth and a half year of being the starter. Last year, I think he led the Pac-12 in yards per game and passer rating and touchdowns, and even improved his touchdown to turnover ratio, wasn't fumbling anymore. He really improved to where he was probably – the second best. You can make an argument he was the best quarterback in the Pac-12 last year. Obviously, Cam Rising came along a little later, and Utah did more late in the season, which isn't – I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson closed the year 4-0 and then wasn't able to play the bowl game. But say Cam Rising was maybe number one and Torian was like a 1B. Now you got Caleb Williams coming in for USC, so he's stealing a lot of spotlight. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson could put together the best season of any quarterback in the Pac-12 this year. That's just how it is. The production that he's had the past couple of years, his growth, it's definitely in the question, in the picture. That's something that can definitely happen. Won't guarantee it because there's a lot of different question marks with Sean Ryan and Alec Anderson leaving, no Brent Brown, no Greg Dulcich, Kyle Phillips. So he's losing his weapons and his protection a little bit. So part of this is he could be the best quarterback in the Pac-12. And the other part is, I need to see how he adjusts to all these important guys leaving around him, how he adapts.
I love the pick, man. And DTR, like you said, I'm actually going to quote somebody who's actually on this podcast, Mr. Sam Connan. I looked up a tweet that came out November 30th. You put out with DTR, number one in total TDs in the Pac-12 in 2021, highest PFF grade in 2021, number one adjusted passing yards per attempt, and then number one in total yards per play. I mean, that is all for the Pac-12. Dorian Thompson-Robinson really took that next step that we had really envisioned for him since he got to UCLA. This guy can absolutely ball. And the areas that, you know, we saw him grow in was he finally started to take the top off with his running ability and make plays. He almost more than doubled his rushing total, his highest total coming into last year. He got to 609 yards on the ground, 9 touchdowns, almost double digits. And, you know, it was kind of some of those head-scratching turnovers that we've seen from Dorian in the past. He still had a few of those here and there. I mean, the USC game comes to mind. I think a lot of it's been swept under the rug because his first two passes against SC were actually intercepted. We all remember the hurdle and the big plays, but it was not pretty to start that game for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But, you know, you nailed it, man. I think he's got a real chance to be the, you know, best quarterback in the Pac-12. And we had Brian Fenley, a friend of the show, on. He does the coaches show with Chip Kelly. I go, is it crazy to say that he could be the best quarterback in the pack? He took it a step further. He goes, I think he's a dark horse Heisman candidate. This guy can absolutely play. So if Thompson Robinson can put it all together, I think that's there. And then you add to the fact, Sam, that he's within striking distance of a couple big records at UCLA, 14 touchdowns away from Brett Hundley's record of 75 from tying that. Roughly 3,200 yards passing behind Cade McNown's record of over 10,000 yards through the air there. And I mean, he's only 9 TDs away rushing from breaking in the top 10 of the all-time rushing touchdowns list for UCLA Bruins. So DTR with a big season on the horizon. Sam Iam takes the quarterback we're all talking about in Westwood. DTR with the first pick. I love it. Sam, I would be doing this podcast a disservice with my first pick if we didn't go with the guy. We're big movie people, right? The Terminator. Yep. Who else are we going to not take on this? This is the number two pick, man. Highest PFF grade for a running back last year. Scratch that. Offensive player for UCLA since 2017. We felt this transfer's impact immediately when he got here from Michigan. 1,100 plus yards, 13 touchdowns, 5.6 yards a carry. Stepped up in big games. I mean, the Hawaii game, like I mentioned, first time we get to see him. Three touchdowns of over 20 plus yards. We're going, okay, we won this transfer. This guy can absolutely ball. We see it all throughout the year. He has a huge game against LSU the following week. Puts it all together against USC, 150 plus yards rushing. Big time game. Doesn't get much bigger than that for UCLA football fans. And I think this, we talked about Dorian Thompson-Robinson being the best quarterback possibly returning in the Pac-12. I've got Charbonnet being the best running back, maybe not only in the Pac-12, but, you know, could be on the Doak Walker award list as you couple the fact that he was getting carries taken away from him by a very talented running back in Britton Brown, who was an NFL draft pick. And we mentioned Thompson-Robinson, who took off for 600 yards himself. When it really broken down, you could have made the case Charbonnet could have easily surpassed 1,500 yards with a little bit more usage there. I think Chip knew what he was going to get with Charbonnet, wanted to keep him and his legs fresh for this season. But what do you think about Zach Charbonnet being the number one pick for my squad for the Bruin Bible?
Yeah, I think you bring up the really interesting thing there with Britton Brown kind of stealing carries away. I think it took until maybe it was the Arizona game or the Washington game until Charbonnet was officially listed as the starter. Like he was the number two on the depth chart for the first half of last season, and he was still putting up those numbers. The efficiency was crazy. So if you give him a bigger workload, I mean, there's a reason he's a dark horse Heisman candidate, more so in some circles than DTR. So another guy whose production will be dependent on how UCLA adjusts at the tackles with the turnover at those positions. But I mean, his talent, his vision, his toughness is you can expect him to produce no matter what. And now it's just, is he going to be great? Is he going to be the best? So it's just varying levels of greatness for him in terms of what's expected this year.
And it's probably just being realistic, probably since Troy Aikman and Gaston Green, that we've really had like two guys be dark horse Heisman candidates for UCLA coming into a football season. I mean, this is a big deal that we got these guys coming back and making.
Yeah, is it like Huntley and John Franklin, like that era? Really? It's got to be up there, this combo for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Franklin, the all-time leading rusher for UCLA, Huntley, the all-time leading touchdown passer. So I didn't even think of that one. That's probably a better example of more recent, you know, success being there. So those two guys balled. I got to go to Sam Iam for his second pick in the inaugural Bruin Bible incoming season draft. Who you got, my man?
All right. I think I have an option to go with offense again, but I think let's switch it up a little bit. Someone who is going to have a lot of responsibility on the defense.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Darius Mouasso, the linebacker who transferred in from Hawaii. He was, I think, back-to-back years, so 2020 and 2021, was first-team All-Mountain West. So, I mean, it's not the Pac-12 in terms of it's not Power 5, but, I mean, that's hard to do. He's had 100 tackles in each of the past two seasons. A guy with that kind of production, you love to add to your defense. And you lose Jordan Jenmar Keith. He graduated. You lose Caleb Johnson. He transferred to Miami. So there's a void there in that middle linebacker spot. I mean, Ali Kaho, he was injured for spring. We don't know what his status is. So they're going to need Darius Mouasso to kind of step up and be that leader and kind of take charge with guys like Kane Medrano and John Vaughns and all those other guys who are working in that group, because I think the linebacker group is going to be really important. When you look at how this defense is called, they're not really using the striker anymore, that Quantrez Knight nickel position anymore, which means that they're probably going to have to be relying on linebackers to do better in pass coverage. So Mwasa will have to be good in pass coverage and then also call out coverages and kind of be the quarterback of that defense. I know Stephen Blaylock has a lot of that responsibility too in the defensive backfield, but when it comes to the front seven, if Darius Mwasa can come in day one and call things out and be a leader and call the plays and call coverages and matchups while also being very productive, he's a someone who can really contend for all Pac-12 first team instead of all Mountain West this year.
Dude, I love the Mwasa pick. He was near the top of my my draft board, I should say, for my second pick. I love Mwasa. This is a guy that has just produced at Hawaii 270 career tackles, 26 and a half tackles for a loss, 11 and a half sacks. And he put it all together last year. It was his second consecutive 100-plus tackle season, 108 tackles, 7 sacks, 5 forced fumbles. And you mentioned the pass coverage. He had one interception last year, but it was a 75-yard touchdown return for Hawaii. This guy had some, like, sneaky little wheels. And I think for most of the linebacker and defensive line, you know, they're not normally getting interceptions at a crazy rate like the secondary players may. But that forced fumbles, that is the closest thing they can really get to a turnover if they're not consistently dropping back and pass. When you have 5 forced fumbles and 7 sacks on top of that, the underrating blitz aspect he can bring, Mwasa was, he might be the best transfer we got in this past transfer portal. I fully believe that. And ironically, the next guy I've got coming up is a guy I'm high on from the transfer portal too. But Mwasa, you nailed it, man. He comes in from day one and he's been the captain, you know, on paper for this defense. I was not able to see him in spring ball. I know you were there. How has he been fitting in with the defense? So we can give kind of UCLA fans maybe just an inside look at what Mwasa was able to adjust to come spring.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting. You just look at him, you see him in pads and jersey, and it's the classic, oh, he looks like a linebacker. He moves well, he's built well, and all of that's great. But especially what stood out to me was how he's working with Ken Norton Jr. coming in as the new inside linebackers coach, taking over for Don Pelham. And Ken Norton Jr., the energy he brings, the way he's vocal and loud and all over the place with these inside linebackers is great. And Mwasa is someone who's absorbing it well, communicating well, helping out his teammates and absorbing it, talking with the coaches and the trainers. And he's someone who definitely looks like he's learning and someone who wants to learn. And if you take someone with the in-game experience that he has, who also has the physical attributes and the production and the want, the desire to learn and adapt to this new situation, that's how you get someone who's going to be a really good contributor for you day one.
Mwasa, flawless pick, Mr. Sam Connan, for his second selection in the draft. I'm looking at my board right now. There's a couple different ways I can go. But I think the guy I'm going to go with is the Duke transfer, Jake Bobo, 6'5", big bodied receiver. And he led the ACC in catches last year. And the more research I did, the more impressive it was, because you look at that Duke offensive attack last year and what they were able to do. 4 total quarterbacks got snaps for them. They threw for under 3,000 yards and 9 touchdowns and 9 interceptions as a quarterback unit. Like, that is not great in any statistical margin or any stat you want to put out there. You put him in a Chip Kelly offense, a guy that, you know, is an offensive genius at the college football level. We've seen it before. Even Chip's biggest critics when the team was struggling, you look at the offensive numbers, they were at or near the top of the Pac-12 in offensive efficiency and putting up points. So you put a Jake Bobo in this system, a big body, reliable target coming off of a 70-plus catch season. I think it's fantastic. And the initial thing that scared me, like I said, was the one touchdown reception. When you look at who was throwing him the ball, I mean, this is just bad. It was not a good environment for him to be in. Duke went 3-9 last year, was, you know, in the hundreds when it came to ranking in the offensive statistical stats. So I think for me personally, I think Jake Bobo, you put him with a Heisman dark horse, as we like to say here on the Bruin Bible, with the Dorian Thompson Robinson, a guy, fifth year, you know, senior coming in, going to be making some throws to the outside, needs to kind of find that security blanket with his Phillips and Dulcich gone. I think Bobo is going to blow up. Give me your thoughts on Bobo too, Sam, because you got to see him up close and personal as well. What were the takeaways from Bobo's performances?
Yeah, I think him being a security blanket is something that's really interesting, because you look at the guys who DTR has relied on in the past couple of years, and you had Kyle Phillips, who was a slot guy. Theo Howard could kind of play all over the place a couple of years ago. But really, those have been the impact receivers. Now you have Jake Bobo, who's 6'4", 6'5", real deep threat. He can go up and get the 50-50 balls, lines up outside the numbers, vertical routes. But he's also athletic enough to do stuff outside of that. He's not a one-trick pony or anything. But it'll be interesting to see how DTR connects with a guy who he hasn't really played with someone of that play style before. They seem to work together really well in the spring. The timing was good. Bobo's hands were good. It should be a good connection. But it will definitely bring a new element to the entire offense, especially the passing game.
I love it, man. Jake Bobo, my number two selection. I'm feeling pretty confident about it. I may have wanted to take Mwasa out if he fell, but Bobo fell into my lap. I had to take him. Sam, I am the Condor himself, number three pick. Who you got, my man?
All right, I think let's move away from transfers for a bit, because we had Charbonnet was a transfer, Wasau, Bobo. I'd imagine there are a couple more transfers coming up. But I want to shout out Devin Kirkwood. He's going to be my third pick. Love. I think he has the body and the athleticism and the personality to be a number one shutdown corner this season. Last year, the way that Brian Norwood kind of rotated the cornerbacks, he didn't really get a ton of reps. He was out there, if not every game, most games, but he was not matching up with number one receiver. There was Jay Shaw in there. There was Obi Igbo, Cam Johnson. There was him. Mo Osling was playing corner. So you had five guys to kind of rotate and just kind of mix up looks. This year, he is the number one de facto top corner, because Mo Osling moves to safety this year, and Jay Shaw transfers to Wisconsin, and Cam Johnson and Obi Igbo, they both graduate. So he is the number one corner, and he's long, athletic. He's got good hands. We saw the interception he had in the Washington game, kind of game win ceiling pick there at the end. He's someone who can make those kind of plays more often than not, and I think he can do that a lot this year. So even if teams don't throw his way a lot, that alone is high praise from them, knowing that he is the top corner on this defense, and I'm really looking forward to see how he's utilized.
Man, so Devin Kirkwood came on the pod a couple weeks ago. We got mad love for D. Kirk. I'm sick that he fell to you. I wish he was my next pick. I was going to take him. Kirkwood is an absolute stud, though, and you hit it on so many points. That big physical corner, this is a guy that was highly recruited coming out of Southern California. Could have gone to the USC's, could have gone to the Oregon's, could have gone to the Michigan's, you know, big-name programs, decide to stay home, go to UCLA, be a Bruin. You mentioned the big-time play he made against Washington, and one of the stats that really jumped out to me, he was a true freshman corner kind of making his bones last year, getting his first real time out on the field. And I looked up PFF. This was kind of a stat that was swept under the rug. Whether you like PFF or not, I think they do have some solid grades. His coverage.
They're always fun to point at when they help your argument. I'll put it that
totally,
way.
Totally. Yeah. If we're backing the argument, and this is going to back, you know, the Kirkwood
stance
of it. You know, he had the highest, or tied for the highest coverage grade of cornerbacks last season at 70.9 for true freshmen weeks 1 through 9 for the college football season. So this guy could play. He was doing as well as any freshman at that level in a coverage grade from PFF. We're expecting a big jump from him this year. All the tweets, all the secondary players that have been quoted by the media are saying this guy is going to be a baller. He's going to make some big time plays. I'll take it even a step further too. I think this guy has a chance to be a first round draft pick if everything goes right, just because of the size and skill combination. Think of the Sauce Gardner selected last year. Think of the Richard Sherman type of mold. This is what this kid's built like. So if he can make plays on the outside, hey man, it might be a shutdown, next two seasons on the left side of the field if Kirkwood's there. So excellent pick, Sam Connen. I like where your head's at. So I am thinking, about this one, and I've got a really interesting one I might be saving for my last one. But let's keep it with guys that are homegrown from UCLA. I agree with you on this. My third pick is a guy that kind of came on the scene last year, and it was every time this guy touched the football, it felt like something good happened. This guy is a spark plug, a guy that just makes big play after big play. And we saw it on the biggest stage possible against USC. Kaz Allen. I really think Chip Kelly finally found out how to use a Kaz Allen-like player in the last two games of the season last year. And just to kind of, you know, re-educate the audience, if you forgot what Kaz was able to do, three catches, 115 yards, and two touchdowns against USC receiving-wise. And that doesn't even count the 103-yard kickoff return he had out of the end zone for a touchdown as well. 17 catches, 255 yards in the season last year, four scores, averaging 15 yards a catch. And the thing that really stood out to me, Sam, was the last game of the year, they used him more in running formations, kind of like a big-bodied back, you know, three carries, 56 yards, and a score against Cal. So if you combine the potential he has rushing the football with the receiving, while I already think he's going to be the most dangerous return man in the country, or not maybe one of the country, but in the Pac-12, average close to 30 yards a kickoff return, I think Kaz Allen means that much to this team and should be looked upon as a guy that's going to help UCLA get to that, you know, 10-11 win threshold. What do you think about Kaz Allen, Mr. Sam?
Yeah, I think we've known for a while that he's a home run hitter. I don't know if it was first carry, but his debut, his college debut against Cincinnati in 2018, when he had the 74-yard touchdown at the Rose Bowl, and everyone's like, yeah, no, this guy looks like a track star. It's real. And I think that year against Arizona, wheel route, long touchdown. So he's been able to contribute for a while, and then it was injuries and academic and these kind of things bouncing around. COVID in 2020 really held him out, and that set him back a bit, and he wasn't able to play down the stretch. When he comes back last year, there's a lot of mouths to feed when it comes to targets and touches. There's Britton Brown, Charbonnet, Phillips, Dulcich, Coda, Ezekiel, all these guys who need touches. And even though he didn't get a lot, he made the most of it when he did. Now you look at this year, and a lot of those guys are gone. So he's going to get more touches, and you'd like to think that that efficiency stays high and he's going to keep hitting home runs. So that's the best case scenario for Kaz Allen. I think it's definitely in the cards.
Kind of think of him like a DeAnthony Thomas like player that Chip had, where it's like they use him in special formations. He's just the type of rare speed where you could put him in any situation, he'll figure it out at the college football level. So very excited to see how they use Kaz Allen. Fourth round, I'm going to count both of these brothers as one player.
I was about to suggest the one thing. Yeah, I was about to suggest it too. Yeah.
So they're just one one category for this. The Murphy twins. I mean, they're sensational talents. And I want to let you take the floor for these guys because, you know, we really feel like we may have the first edge rushers of the Chip Kelly era coming in that could really make a game-breaking difference with these two guys.
Yeah, and there are veterans and athletes on the edges who have done all right for Chip Kelly the past few years and who are still on the roster this year, but these two are different. Both Gabriel and Grayson, great personalities, fun to talk to if you're the media, fun to follow along if you're a fan, but just watching them in practice in the spring, they were abusing the tackles. And I know we were talking about how there was a lot of turnover at left and right tackle, but both of them would just the moves they would put on are great. And they come over from North Texas. They're really productive there. And I think there were some questions initially about, well, how's it going to translate? North Texas isn't really in the Pac-12 when it comes to their competition. But you watch them and you say, okay, that's going to translate. You watch them practice. You watch their film. You know they're legit. And that's so important for UCLA this year because we were talking about earlier, they're not really going with the striker anymore, with the Raider. They're getting rid of the 4-2-5 as a base formation. They'll still use it here and there. They'll have a nickel back, whatever it is. But they're not going to be relying so heavily on bringing an extra man in a blitz to create pressure. So the way that Bill McGovern's going to run the defense has shifted from where Jerry Azzanero and Brian Norwood were running it in the past, where they're just going to say, okay, we have a normal four-man front, 4-3. What are you going to do? You have to create pressure, rely on the players. And these two are absolutely integral to that mindset. They're going to get to the quarterback. They're going to flush him out of the pocket. They're going to push him up the middle. They're going to set Darius Mwaso up for sacks. They're going to do it all. They're going to cause a lot of disruption, and that's great. If UCLA can get all of that done without pulling an extra man out of coverage, that's how you know the pass defense is going to improve this year.
I love it, man. And Grayson and Gabriel, like you said, North Texas, not the Pac-12, but you were able to see them up close and personal. All the reviews I've heard out of spring camp where these guys were just flat out dominant on the football field, making plays left and right, combined for 90 tackles last year, 28 and a half tackles for a loss, 15 and a half sacks, and 17 quarterback hurries. I mean, these guys can play. I mean, in North Texas, it's not like they're coming from D2, D3. That's still a Division I school. So, I mean, it translates, man. I'm really excited to see these twins and just have those, you know, bodies coming over, because it's not one guy, it's two of the same guy, same body type, same skill set, making impacts all over the field. So God bless the Murphy twins for coming to UCLA. I think us Bruins fans are very, very hyped to see what they bring to the table next season. Sam, I'm looking at my draft board right now. There's a couple areas we can go with, but I think the way I am leaning right now is I'm going to go back to the transfers. I know we did with the Murphy twins. I'm going to go with Azeezy Hearn. And I think a big thing with Hearn is the secondary for the longest time has been so bad under the Chip Kelly era. You look at the advanced stats, there's been 4 years with Chip at the helm for UCLA of data we can crunch. Two of those years, they ranked in the hundreds when it came to the secondary and, you know, passing yards allowed per game. There's 130 Division I teams. That's not a great stat line to be associated with. I think the secondary was kind of the area of the UCLA football team that would just get beat up by the media and talked about. But you bring in a guy like Hearn, who has 37 career starts from his name, transfer from Wyoming. He had an 82.2 PFF coverage grade last year, was very solid on that. And from everything I've been hearing, he slides into the nickel, and he's been doing pretty well when it comes to spring camp. I just think the secondary has a chance to be the best it's been in a long time. And I think Hearn, as well as Kirkwood, who we already mentioned, is a big reason as to why. And, you know, once again, I want to hear your thoughts on Hearn, because I think this kid can come in. He's a veteran player. You know, the 37 starts I mentioned, and can come in and really, you know, shore up the inefficiencies with this secondary, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you look at his story, and he was a walk-on at Arizona, and then he transferred to Wyoming. So he has experience as a starter and a lot more years and snaps at Wyoming, but he also knows what it's like to play in the Pac-12 and to play against these type of opponents and type of offenses. And you typically like having guys who came from being walk-ons and earned a scholarship and have kind of worked their way up in that way. That's something that I'm sure a lot of coaches like to work with. And I don't blame him. He was looking really good in the spring. Like you're talking about the nickel slot corner. It's going to be really important because, like we were talking about earlier, UCLA lost a lot of corner depth. So even if he's not out there every single snap, it we'll see if they end up using him exclusively as a slot corner or if they move him inside and outside, depending on if he's the number two corner or whatever it is. He's going to definitely play a big part in how they defend the pass this season. He's got decent length, especially for a slot corner. And he's athletic. Right? Yeah. So that's not bad. Usually you look at slot corners and you're a little worried about, what is he like 5'10"? No, Hearn can, he has the length to play outside, but more the skill set to play on the inside. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of blend that with having a true number one corner in Kirkwood on the outside. And I'm really curious to see how he does, because we've seen transfers come in, Obi Igbo and Cam Johnson, who just kind of, they were good. The coaching staff liked having them around. They weren't really game breakers, but they kind of raised the floor of the defense. And with so many guys like that going out the door, that's what you need Hearn to be this year. You don't need him to be a playmaker, get a bunch of interceptions, talk a lot of crap. No, you need him to be a floor raiser and just be steady and good, have that veteran presence and bring that to the secondary, which I think he's definitely capable of doing.
Love it, man. Hearn is my fourth pick. We have entered the final round of the inaugural Bruin Bible draft of the 10 players we're most excited to see come College Football Saturdays this year. Mr. Connick, last pick for you. You can wrap it up with a nice bow here. Take the guy you've wanted, have been sitting on your board looking at. Who is that guy for you, Mr. Connick?
All right, so I'll run through who I have so far. I got DTR, and then I got Wausau, I got the Murphys, and I got Kirkwood. So I got all three levels of defense taken care of. I got linebacker, D-line, secondary, I got quarterback, but no more offense. So I'm definitely leaning offense here. I feel like it's too hard to pick between the offensive linemen when you look at, because someone like DiGiorgio is going to be really important, and Raekwon O'Neal is going to be really important. But then some of them are you got Duke Clemens and John Gaines, who are all kind of on that level where they're more of a collective thing. It's not like there's no Sean Ryan of the group where one's an NFL guy and one stands out, and he's definitely the most important, has to be the best kind of guy. So I'll veer away from offensive line, and I'm going to go to tight end.
Oh,
and I know Michael Ezeke is the presumptive number one tight end. He is on the Mackey Ward watch list, but I'm going to go way off the beaten path here, because I feel like this is a bonus pick for me, because I got two guys at four, so I can go real dark horse here. I'm going to go Hudson Habermill for my fifth pick. I'm not saying he's going to be top 10 best players on the team. I don't know if he's going to be an NFL prospect, but when I saw him play in the spring, he looked more like the Greg Dulcich and Devin Asiasi and Caleb Wilson. He could fit into that role more maybe than Michael Ezeke. Ezeke was that second tight end last year, and he will probably have a similar role this year. We'll see what it's like for him. Habermill really burst onto the scene in spring. He's someone who, like Dulcich used to be a walk-on, Habermill, walk-on. We'll see what he can do now. He's Chip Kelly in this offense with DTR, the way he likes targeting guys. There's going to be a top tight end in this group who's going to be very important. It's been that way every year, Chip Kelly. So it's going to be either Ezeke or Habermill. I'm going to go all in, go with the so-called no-name and go with Habermill. He's could end up being the number one tight end on this team. And if you're the number one tight end on the Chip Kelly UCLA team, you're obviously going to be very important.
My gosh, this is why we get Sam Connen on the Bible. The shock factor. I don't know if you guys can see it. You could be listening on your phone, but if you're watching the video, my jaw fell to the floor because I was initially targeting Ezeke with my pick. I thought that's where it was going. I was already shocked. And then he, you know, put me on my ass by going with Hudson Habermill. Unbelievable pick from Sam Connen. This is why he is welcome at the Bruin Bible anytime he wants to come through.
I had to mix it up. I didn't want to play it safe. I know I got the little bonus pick in the fourth round, so I had to really put all my eggs in that basket, and we'll see where it goes. So come back to me at the end of the year.
Buddy, this is what we want. We want the far out picks and things like that. And you're just trusting your gut. This is who you believe is the number one tight end. So we love the pick. I did watch a video on Twitter that Hudson Habermill posted of him running routes, and I was very pleasantly surprised. It was like some Drake background music. It was very entertaining to watch. I think I was like, man, like, who is this guy? And then I see it's Habermill. I'm like, okay, he might be rising up the ranks. I didn't know if it was enough to push Ezeke, but, you know, Ezeke got some time last year. There is, you know, a battle for that number one tight end spot, and Habermill might be that guy. So I'm really, really pumped to see how this pick pans out. We can revisit this, you know, in January or February. But this Sam Connen just making a phenomenal pick. This is why we love the guy. Awesome, awesome pick from the Condor. Last pick for me. There's a couple guys that I'm circling, a couple guys that we're not going to get to. Carlo Jones being one of them, another edge rusher that they're talking about, could be making a big-time jump. Cam Brown, I think, is a name that could emerge as a very solid number two option to a Bobo. And, you know, I remember hearing DTR speak last year. He's talking about the receivers. It wasn't Dulcich who you mentioned first in a particular press conference. it wasn't, you know, Kyle Phillips, who we mentioned. He said Cam Brown was his, like, one of his favorite guys in practice to kind of go to. So Cam Brown could easily make that jump to number one receiver. But the guy that I am going to go with is Raekwon O'Neal. And we mentioned how important the offensive line is to the structure. A guy that unfortunately was not in spring practice, but a guy that I feel very confident in coming in and taking over the one of the tackle spots for that matter. 21 career starts to his name from Rutgers, was an all Big Ten honorable mention at the tackle spot. And for people that, you know, evaluate who has the best talent coming from different conferences, you know, I think the Pac-12 can make a definitive case that they produce some of the best corners and quarterbacks when it comes to the NFL. When it comes to the offensive linemen, the Big Ten is as good as it gets up there with the SEC in terms of producing those NFL-like left tackles. There's some big, big dudes there. And we're going to have to experience that in a couple of years when we make the move to the Big Ten ourselves, going to be playing against these big, hefty Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State tackles that really can, you know, block and move and are just behemoths of human beings. Raekwon O'Neal, a little bit undersized compared to those guys. I believe he's 6'3 and a half, but just has heavy, heavy hands. A guy that I trust fully if he's healthy to be the starter at one of the tackle positions. Provides that stability of, you know, 2+ years of starting experience, a couple other, you know, times filling in. I like Raekwon O'Neal. It's impossible to tell if he's, you know, going to be the guy until we really get into those fall camp, you know, reports and things like that. But on paper, do you think Raekwon O'Neal has a chance to be a really solid option at tackle? Because I'm all in on him, Sam.
Yeah, I think, like you said, gut feeling right now, because fall camp doesn't start till, we're recording this on Wednesday, it doesn't start till Friday. I think he's the left tackle for this team based on what we've seen from the other guys in the tackle room on the depth chart. I think he slides in as the left tackle. And that means there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Like you said, he's a little undersized. We thought from the UCLA circles the past 3 years talking about how great Sean Ryan was and how he's a top NFL prospect, and he goes to the NFL, drafted pretty high, and they're like, we'll move you inside. You're more of a guard, we think. So
crazy to me, buddy.
So if Raekwon O'Neal is smaller than Sean Ryan, then how do we feel about him at tackle as opposed to guard? Well, he has Big Ten experience at tackle, but he also has experience at guard, and he's moving around, not a ton of starts. He has some starts, though. So he definitely has a leg up on everyone else on this offensive line when it comes to the tackle positions. But he's really going to have to prove that he is an everyday number one left tackle that can go up against some of the best pass rushers and edge rushers and linebackers in the Pac-12. For all we know, he could do that. He certainly has the potential to, based on his production at Rutgers. But that it's a lot of wait and see right now.
I love it, man. And that concludes the inaugural Bruin Bible top 10 players most excited to see for UCLA draft. Sam Connan, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in your car, if you're listening on your phones, give this man a round of applause. He did a hell of a job. We love having him on the show. He is such a great guest. Get his stuff at SI All Bruins. They do some of the best stuff around, so make sure you're tuning into what they're putting out in the world. Are you doing the Believe podcast too, or is there something else there?
Yeah. Believe in UCLA podcast. Me and Travis Reed, former UCLA men's basketball player, we're talking UCLA football, UCLA men's basketball, whatever else pops up. It's been a bit of a hiatus with slow news kind of recently, but now that fall camp is starting, UCLA men's basketball got some news there. So we'll be resuming that ASAP. And you can find us on the Believe Podcast Network.
Tune into it. Follow him at Sam Connan on Twitter. One of the best guys around. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. This was an absolute blast to do this draft with you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Will.
Bruin Bible, we are a